Good morning, everybody. It's lovely to meet together again, isn't it, and to worship God this morning. We haven't quite got the sunshine, but it's a bit warmer these days, isn't it? So we can worship God regardless of the weather. I just wanted to start with this verse from 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 3. We'll be looking at it later on, and it goes like this: "All honor to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. For it is by his boundless mercy that God has given us the privilege of being born again. Now we live with a wonderful expectation because Jesus Christ rose from the dead." And that's where our hope is. We'll be thinking about hope later on. And our hope is there because Jesus has risen from the dead. Yeah, let's start again. "Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come into him and eat with him and he with me." Revelation 3:20. Thank you very much. That's great. So next week, I shall be looking at this verse and the context of this verse in more detail. So that's where we're going next week. So Lord, we thank you for your word, how it can encourage and bless us. And we pray that will happen this morning. We just pray that we can know you with us, Lord. We can be excited by looking at your word together. And we can just want to praise and worship and thank you from the depths of our beings. So help us this morning, we pray. Amen. Okay, so today's topic is hope. And in fact, this is our last topic of going through the whole Bible is hope. We'll be doing a few more weeks of hope. And I just want to remind you of those other previous topics. So we started with origins in the beginning, and that was talking about our human desire for meaning. And we understood that God made us in his image. And so that was the most important thing to remember, that we're made in his image. It's not some other image of me being a farmer or a person at the front, or the most important image is that we're made in God's image. And that's what we need to hold on to. We are children of God. And whilst that image can be damaged because of sin, and indeed is damaged because of sin, it is still what we need to hang on to. We are children of God. And if we could just grasp that more, we would be such happier people, I'm sure. And so our second topic was Exodus. And that was our human desire for freedom. And there's rules, regulations, and something else which I can't read there. Ropes. Rules, ropes, and regulations which can tie us up together in knots. And we just love freedom, don't we? We absolutely love freedom. And that was what Exodus was about. It's bringing the people of Israel out of Egypt into their own land of Israel. And so the next topic was exile. And we saw the first exile was Adam and Eve from the Garden of Eden, from God's presence. They disobeyed God, and so they couldn't live with God anymore in the Garden of Eden. And we also saw the exile of the people of Israel from Israel, and they went over to Babylon, didn't they? They were exiled. And we feel that exile with our distance from God often because of sin. And we identified with the nation of Israel with that thing. But the human desire for peace is always there within us, and we're wanting peace, but so often it's struggling to find it. And then we moved into the New Testament with Messiah, our human desire for love. And we see that great verse in John 3:16. "God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him will not perish but have everlasting life." And we see the way that the Messiah loved the people around him, that God loved us and Messiah loved us. Jesus' love for us took him all the way to the cross on Calvary. And then just more recently, we've been doing about the Spirit and our human desire for community. The community of God coming together with the Holy Spirit in us all as believers. And we love this community of God. And the other night I was on a Zoom call for 3 hours, but it was the community of God there. community of other believers, and it wasn't like a three-hour Zoom call, as you would imagine, you know. It was good because God was there with us, and that was at the EFCC annual general meeting. The chapel belongs to an organization called Evangelical Fellowship of Congregational Churches, which you don't want to say too often, but they had their meeting, and so that was good to be part of that. So that brings us to hope, our human desire for home. Our human desire for home. You know, we can have wonderful holidays, but, you know, when that day comes, we often are very happy to go home, aren't we? Because there's no place like home. It's just where we know we're feeling secure and blessed. And so our subject is hope. But before we get there, we're going to hear a song from Juliet. Comes on then. What adverts would you expect to see in January, February?
Holidays,
yes. And so it kind of, the thing is there to get us through those dark, cold months. We have a hope of a summer, excuse me. We have the hope of a summer holiday coming up where we can bask in the sun and just relax with ice creams and all sorts of stuff. The power of hope is well known to us all, really. You know, if we're climbing that mountain, we're really thinking, oh, I hope when we get to the top, there's a good view. There's something going to reward all this effort. And if you're a younger child, perhaps you're thinking, I hope there's going to be an ice cream shop when we get to the top because I shall really need one. And as parents, we might have put something in our pocket as a bit of a reward to try and encourage that effort to the top of the mountain. Well, last week's subject was all about religion and faith, wasn't it? And the sort of religion is kind of, oh, I hope I'll get to heaven when I die. And hopefully my good deeds will outweigh my bad deeds. And hopefully the gods will be in a good mood when I get there, you know, at that moment, and will open the door and let me in. Well, I wanted to illustrate this. And so I made a pair of scales. And you're not needing to judge me on my making skills because it's not that amazing. But I just wondered if we could just have a look at this sort of this hope think I probably need to come out here. And I wonder if this works, you know? Well, if you're looking carefully, you can see that actually my scales start off with a bit of a bias. I didn't make them very carefully. And it's all a bit weighted to the bad stuff, isn't it? Have you found it's a bit easier to do bad stuff than good stuff? Yeah, life's a bit that way, sadly. And so we start off, we're kind of not on the great side of life, are we? But I want you to be very brave this morning and think back in the last day or two, perhaps, or a week or two, or a month or two, however long you want to think back, and think, well, have I done a good deed or a good deed or a bad deed? And I'd like you to come and pick up a stone from down there and put them on whichever side you feel. You might want to put one on both sides. But I would like you to be brave and do that for me, because we have several people, young or old. Just come along and grab a stone. You can choose a stone. There is a nice crystal-y stone there. If you think your good deed really shines out, you could perhaps grab that one. But don't take too long thinking, because, you know, people will want to finish at some point. One bad and one good. Oh, he's found a crystal stone. Oh, nice. Yeah, he's kind of, yeah, which way are we going at the moment? We're still a bit on the bad side of life. So is anybody else? Come on, let's have a few bigger people to admit to. I will join in this. Whoops, that's not so great, is it? Oh, my goodness me, it's going to go down. Let's hope you've been good. Well, we're still on the bad side of life, aren't we? We can see how. Oh, Natasha, well done, Natasha. And Rachel, yes. Well, here comes Aston. Oh dear. Oh dear. Well, it's not going to get us very far, is it? I don't think. You know, we're not that brilliant, are we? We don't want to be a slave to religion, because, you know, it's hard work trying harder all the time. It really is. Isaiah says in chapter 64, he says, "We are all infected and impure with sin. When we proudly display our righteous deeds, we find they are but filthy rags." You know, so even our good points, Isaiah is saying, basically they're all rubbish. Because, you know, our motives, you know, we want to be seen to be nice, shiny people, don't we, often? And often our good things we try to do well, you know, end up in a big mess. And Isaiah is saying, we're affected and impure with sin. When we proudly display our righteous deeds, we just find they're filthy rags. And so that brings us down with a bump, and we find this trying harder business doesn't work, which is what we understood last week. So can we have our reading from Psalm 39 from Aston and Isla, please? Psalm 39, and this is King David wrote this. I'm not sure if he was king at that time or not, but he wrote this. And you'll see he gets to a point in the middle, which is really why I've chosen this one.
Yeah. I said, I will guard my ways, that I will not sin with my tongue. I will guard my mouth with a muzzle, so long as the wicked are in my presence. I was mute and silent. I held my peace to no avail, and my distress grew worse. My heart became hot within me. As I mused, the fire burned. Then I spoke with my tongue. O Lord, make me know my end and what is the measure of my days. Let me know how fleeting I am. Behold, you have made my days a few handbreadths, and my lifetime is as nothing before you. Surely all mankind stands as a mere breath. Surely a man goes about as a shadow. Surely for nothing, they are in turmoil. Man heaps up wealth and does not know who will gather. And now, O Lord, for what do I wait? My hope is in you.
Rescue me from my rebellion. Do not let fools mock me. I am silent before you. I won't say a word, for my punishment is for you. But please stop striking me. I am exhausted by the blows from your hand. When you discipline us for our sins, you consume like a moth what is precious to us. Each of us is but a breath. Hear my prayers, O Lord. Listen to my cries for help. Don't ignore my tears, for I am your guest, a traveller passing through, as my ancestors were before me. Leave me alone so I can smile again, before I am gone and exist no more.
Okay, so poor old King David was struggling a bit, wasn't he? He was saying, I'm going to be a good person today, when he got up at the beginning. Can we have the beginning on of that, Jill, please? And he said, you know, I'm gonna watch what I say, and but before long he was saying his words had got out of control. The first previous slide, yeah, he said, I'm gonna guard my ways and I'm not gonna sin with my tongue. But then he suddenly gets angry, and all of a sudden he's lost his temper and he's sinning with his tongue again. And so if we flip over to the other side, he's saying, what hope have I got? I'm tried hard, I've learned lots of things, but I can't do it on my own. In verse 7 he says, and now, O Lord, for what do I wait? Because my hope is in you. King David is understanding that he can't make life on his own. He has to hope in God. And he goes on and he says, my life is not long enough to get this right on my own. You know, it goes by in a fleeting moment, and I just can't do it on my own. My hope is in you. And so it was just wonderful that he saw the inadequacy of himself, but the adequacy of God in his life. And so lots of people today, they would say, you know, we don't want religion, you know, these scales business, forget it all. You know, we've got science, we've got our modern way of life. You know, we don't need religion. Religion just causes wars and arguments and division. And some of those are quite attractive arguments. And then we come forward with these other slogans, like, you only live once, so let's give it all you got now. And then there's a bit of fear of missing out, you know, so we've got to pack everything into this life. You know, we've got to have every experience going. We've got to have the sunshine holiday, we need the winter skiing holiday, we need to pack it all in. And then there's so much pressure to get all these things, to pay for all these things. We have to do so many things that we have this fear of failure. You know, what happens if I fall down when I'm skiing and I break my leg and I won't be able to do the next thing because I'll have a broken leg? And, you know, the consumer greed, which is pressed upon us by, you must have everything, you must have all these gadgets, and you must have it now. Life is not long enough to wait. We have to have it now. And we have this fear of disease, which is going to overtake us. And we have the fear of accidents and death, which can come and snatch everything away from us. And if we listen to the news, that just doesn't help either. It's just so much pressure coming in to us, because it's all down to us and we've got to do it now. How can we manage to get through this? But the Bible gives us a different perspective. The Bible gives us this perspective of faith. And when we believe, we can believe that the best is ahead of us. The best, we haven't got to rush through this life to make the most of everything here. We can have faith that God is going to have us in heaven with him afterwards. We can have this hope because we have a very solid foundation to put it on. This hope comes from Jesus. Jesus came from heaven to this earth, and when he was killed on the cross, he died, but 3 days later he came back to life, and now he's in heaven. So this hope is coming from outside of this world and bringing us, it's going to bring us back home to Eden, to that Garden of Eden, where we can walk with God, where perfection exists continually. And so That is where our hope needs to be. And our song kind of talks about this hope. Our next song is 1358, right near the end of the book. 1358 is a Stuart Townend one, I think. Talks about this hope. There is a hope that burns within my heart, that gives me strength for every passing day, a glimpse of glory now revealed in meager part. And so let's see the words of this hymn and let those words do us good as we focus on the hope that Jesus gives us. Shall we stand? I think it's good to stand. It's a beautiful song, and it's possibly new to a lot of us, but I'm sure we're going to be going back there in the future. So our hope is rooted in history. Our hope is not just some sort of magical thing we're all imagining in our minds, but it's rooted in history. 2,000 years ago, Jesus rose from the death. Fact. There's loads of evidence to back that up. The Bible tells us clearly, and we can believe that without worrying about doubt. So our hope is rooted in history. Can we have our next readings, please, Natasha and Logan? 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 3 to 6. Thank you very much.
Give praise to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. In his great mercy, he has given us a new birth and a living hope. This hope is living because Jesus Christ rose from the dead. He is giving us a new birth so that we might share in what belongs to him. This is a gift that can never be destroyed. It can never spoil or even fade away. It is kept in heaven for you.
Through faith you are kept safe by God's power. Your salvation is going to be completed. It is ready to be shown to you in the last days, because you know all this. You have great joy. You have joy even though you may have had to suffer for a little while. You may have to suffer sadness in all kinds of trouble.
Wonderful passage that Peter, who wrote this, Peter was one of the disciples of Jesus, and now he's written down this book to give to us to remember and to learn from. And so we see that this is a living hope, and it's living because Jesus is risen. Jesus is alive. You know, he's not a dead person who was crucified 2,000 years ago. He's a live person. He's in heaven right now. And Jesus has broken this barrier of death. You know, this great thing which this world is held in the grip of, death, which comes to us all. But Jesus has broken this power of death. And we can have that assurance that he has gone there, done the business. He's won the cosmic battle against the devil. That has all been done for us. And he is saying, just believe in me and you can have this life as well. And so Peter is saying it's this earthly inheritance which he has given us, which is an amazing thing. Earthly inheritance, did I say? I didn't mean an earthly inheritance. A heavenly inheritance. So let's go to verse 4 there. Have we got verse 4? Yeah, we got verse 4 there. And it's saying this inheritance will never spoil or fade away. And I was thinking about this spoiling and fading away. Can anybody think of a memory verse that talks about stuff spoiling and fading away? Yes, it's this one. What is it? Lay up for yourselves in heaven, where neither moth nor rust destroys, and where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. Matthew 6, verse 20 and 21. And so, you know, we've had this verse saying, lay up for yourselves treasure in heaven. And Peter is now saying that it's going to be safe there. You know, we put it in heaven and it will be safe. God is looking after it for us, our inheritance. And if we have an inheritance, you know, that's something which is definitely coming to us. And all we have to do on this earth to inherit something is to stay alive long enough so that that inheritance will come to us and we'll be alive and well and grab it and go with it when we get there. But that's our heavenly inheritance is different to that because we haven't even got to stay alive, you know. We can die and go to be with Jesus and receive that inheritance in heaven. God is going to protect it for us. That's verse 5 is saying God is protecting, he's keeping it safe for us there for when we get there. And verse 6 is saying, be glad, have great joy. Right in the middle there, because you know this, you have great joy. You have joy even though you may have to suffer for a little while on this earth, but what is coming is going to just make that look so insignificant. That it's nothing. So it's saying, hang on. It might be a rocky road now, but the great inheritance is coming, and Jesus and God is keeping it safe for us in heaven. And when we die, we will be there to receive it. Jesus will be there, and it's a bit like if we go rock climbing, and if we imagine. Not only going, a bunch of us going rock climbing, but Jesus coming with us. And he's got this big rope on his shoulder. And we get to this huge cliff that we have to climb. And we're thinking, I have no idea how we're going to get up there. But amazingly, Jesus just says, like this. And he just goes up there. And then when he gets there, he says, hang on a minute. I'm just going to drop the rope for you. And he drops the rope down. And Jesus is hanging on to the rope the other end. And we can climb up with this rope and we can tie it around us because we might actually slip at various times, but we will be safe because Jesus is up there hanging on to the rope at the other end. And we can go up this cliff face assured that we will get to the top. Jesus is there already and our place is guaranteed because he is hanging on to the rope and we just need to keep stepping forward as we go. Hebrews verse 6, verses 19 to 20, go like this. This hope is strong and trustworthy anchor for our souls. It leads us through the curtain into God's inner sanctuary. Jesus has already gone there for us. You know, we haven't got to be a leader blazing the trail. Jesus has gone and done all that for us. And we just need to hang on to that rope, hang on to that hope that Jesus gives us in his word. That hope that Jesus was resurrected from death 2,000 years ago. And you know, as my dad grew old and died a few months ago, he was hanging on to that hope that he knew, that he'd known most of his life because he believed in Jesus. And he had confidence that Jesus had died and was buried and was resurrected and ascended into heaven, preparing a place for him. No doubt he was a little bit anxious about the journey, how much it was going to hurt on the way, you know, and going through life with various trials. And the last sort of walk of that can be difficult, no doubt. But he had confidence because the battle had been fought by Jesus and Jesus was going to take him through to be with him. And we too can believe and trust Jesus. And we too can go to be at home with Jesus when we die. Again, it's a bit like if you're watching Match of the Day on a Saturday night, you know, and the games have all been played on the Saturday afternoon, but you didn't see the games, but you did hear the score. And so you sit down and you want to watch this football match just to see how it went on. And another friend is with you, but they don't know the score. They didn't see the game either. And so you sit down, but you know the score, the end score is going to be okay. And you see your team and go down a couple goals and you think, oh, crumbs, that doesn't look good, but actually they're going to win in the end. But your friend next to you doesn't know that, and he's in despair, thinking, oh no, you know, we're going to lose this game. But you can have confidence that it's because you know the end score. And we know the end score because we're told that in the Bible. And next week we're going to be looking into Revelation, and that will inform us more about the end, our end goal, and how it's going to be okay for us when we put our trust and faith in Jesus. So that's the important thing, is to be putting our trust and faith in Jesus, because we can't do it on our own. Remember the scales, you know, it all gets a bit tricky, doesn't it? And I should have done this as well on the scales. We often look at ourselves and think, well, we're not too bad. And we look at other people and we kind of say, well, actually, when we compare myself with other people, I look quite good, really, you know. And lots of people do that, don't you? Even hear it on the news. Well, if this politician can do that, that means I can do this. And we compare ourselves with each other, and we're no better off at the end of it, are we? Because we're all kind of bad, and we just don't match up. And we need Jesus to take us through. And so I'd like us to come now to our time of prayer. All that, Lord, and you hold this world in your hands, and you made it in the first place, Lord, and you will see us through. So we thank you for that, Lord. We do pray for our government, Lord, that they can have this wisdom from you, that they can realize that on their own they are like us, not that great, Lord, but with you and your wisdom, they can do great things. So we pray that they could look to you, Lord, for this. Let's national government, local government, and even where countries get together. Just pray that could be the case, Lord. We pray for our missionary friends, people like Naomi, Lord, who we saw last week on the screen, and others that we know and think of from time to time, Lord. Just be with them wherever they are, and bless them and encourage them. And just if they're struggling, Lord, we just pray that you would light that fire of hope within them once again. We think of those over in Borneo, Lord, with Ronnie Habor, with the village there. Just pray for them as they live together, that they would just be able to have that great hope of you, Lord, in their lives. And just pray for each one, Lord, they could get on well together and be a blessing in that place. And so for us, Lord, we just thank you for our friends and family, Lord. We just pray for this Christmas occasion again that the Proctors will have, and pray a real blessing upon them, Lord, for that time. And that would be great. And for all of us, Lord, as we hope to be able to be so much social before very long with each other. And we just pray that that can be really good, and that the COVID won't reemerge because of that, Lord. And we thank you for our NHS, Lord. We often complain about various things, but Lord, we know that we are really blessed with our doctors and hospitals and the NHS. So bless them and enable them to do a good job, we pray. And so for our work situations, Lord, we commit them to you. For school, Lord, our friends at school, Lord, help us for those who are in school, and help them to remain strong in you. When things don't look so great. And so we look to you, Lord, for this coming week, to give us strength for what we face, and that we can continue in hope with your hope, Lord, because you died and you broke the power of death and came back alive once more to lead the way for us to be with you when we die. So thank you, Lord, for this time. Help us in these last few moments with our last song, and as we go outside and chat to one another, Lord, make that a real blessing, we pray. Amen. Shall we just pray? Dear Lord, we just pray that we can be indeed safe in the arms of Jesus. We thank you for this reassurance you give us through your word and through history, Lord, that you will take us safe into your own arms. So thank you, Lord. Let this just touch our hearts and give us joy, give us hope and pleasure just to think of it, Lord. And as we go out in this new week tomorrow, Lord, we just pray that we can go with that assurance in our hearts that come what may, whatever happens, Lord, we can be safe in your arms. And just pray that we can go with your word, Lord. We can share it with those who we meet, share it with those we see at school, at work, and at times of pleasure too. So we thank you for each other, Lord. We thank you for this place, and we just pray for safety as we go to our homes. And we just remember those, Lord, who are not with us. We think of Shirley especially, Lord. Give her your assurance, Lord, of this good truth, Lord, that she is safe in your arms. And for Inger and Aaron, Lord, remember them too. Pray for Dan and Frankie and her girls, Lord, and for Mo as well. Just bless them, we pray. Amen. I'm just looking out the door and I see some rain coming down, so I'm not sure if I ought to start next week's sermon, because I've